Hello, lovely listeners. Welcome back to Nastalgia. I'm your host, Nassim, and I'm so glad you're tuning in. Listeners, today I'm going to be starting a series of episodes called Soundbites. In large part, this is inspired simply by the nostalgia and the bliss of the experience of going to the store and buying a CD. Think back with me. You hear that your favorite band is coming out with a debut CD, right? Or maybe it's, you know, their second CD that's coming out, and you go to Tower Records or Sam Goody or Circuit City with your parents and you buy that CD. The crispness of taking off that like plastic film, the little adhesive on the top and the side, and then just playing with the booklet. You know, I remember certain bands, they had like signed the inside. So you'd have like a photocopy of like their autograph and then the thank yous. Oh my gosh, it was a magical experience. I still have these memories of my parents actually needed to read the lyrics of the Spice Girls debut album like before I got it. So they would actually like, they bought the CD first and then they read through because the lyrics would all be in the insert. And I remember there was a song on there called Naked. And they were like, wait, what? What does this mean? Why? And anyways, I miss that. And I think that there is something so special about listening to a CD from start to finish. And I know that, you know, we have access to music streaming services, of course. It's just a whole new thing, right? It's just different. And there was something to be said about getting a CD, putting it in your boombox or putting it in your CD player, your portable CD player. And guys, I don't know about you, but for me, I didn't have like the shockproof feature on my CD player. So it was like you held on to it tightly. You held on to it tightly, like when you're in the car and you go over a speed bump or something and it skips and you're like, oh my gosh. I remember like going on a plane ride. My family and I went to Canada. Like we'd go to Canada all the time because we had family there. But this one trip, I think I was 8 or 9 years old. I had that portable CD player. I got a case for it and it could fit like I think 2 CDs along with it. So I had to pick which 2 CDs I wanted to take. And then I have my extra AA batteries in case it runs out because it did not have like a, you know, a long battery life. And then just sitting in the plane, putting that CD into the player and just listening and listening from start to finish. And I don't know if you guys remember, but artists used to have like interludes, like track one would always be an intro and then, you know, interludes throughout or like little skits. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. Anyway, so now that I have hopefully taken you back, I want to start this series with a CD that I love and I think doesn't get enough credit because the band went on to become so popular that I don't think that people truly appreciate all the tracks on this album. I'll stop teasing you. The album is NSYNC's self-titled debut album, NSYNC, released in 1997. Ah, NSYNC. By the way, fun fact, I'm not sure how many people know about this or not. So can I just let you know what NSYNC stands for? NSYNC is actually the last letter of the 5 band members' names. Justin, Chris, Joey, Lance, and JC. And I think Lance got the short end of the stick because they just went with N, not E. Sorry, I'm just like, now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, wait, is that really the true... That's what I've always known my whole life. So anyone out there, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, that's what I thought it was. But now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, poor Lance. Like, anyways, I'm going to leave this in the episode because I'm processing it as I look at the album. Okay, let's start here. Of course, I'm a Backstreet Boys fan through and through. I always will be. And I'm not a big fan of like teaming them up, like pitting them up against each other. But if I had to, Backstreet Boys, no contest. However, NSYNC is awesome too. And I was a big fan of this debut album. I loved it. And, you know, now I think that a lot of the guys have unfortunately kind of, you know, they've just let themselves go a bit, I'd say. They're not at BSB's caliber of like, I mean, BSB dances, like they still have their Vegas residency, right? Like they dance like they're still 25. Sweet Joey, sweet Chris, they try, but it's different. And Justin's too cool and like, let's just not go there. Like I've never been a fan of Justin going solo because he broke them up like in their like prime. So, I mean, good for Justin. Obviously he's great, but I just always wonder what NSYNC could have been, especially when you think about how the Backstreet Boys are still going strong and have like 9 albums, most of which are platinum. I just wonder, you know, what NSYNC could have been. Anyways, let's move on. So first things first, let's just talk about the CD. I'm looking at my CD right now from 1997, and my favorite member of NSYNC has always been Joey Fatone. Yes, literally from day one. And he's a hottie. Like if you look at this cover, they all look great. In fact, I think Justin Timberlake probably looks the worst because this is the, you know, height of his macaroni platinum blonde hair. But man, like, I mean, Chris Kirkpatrick, he is definitely wearing, I think, like an O'Neill shirt. He's wearing goggles, like goggles that are on his forehead. But hey, I like that look for you. And has hair that's kind of like just like a little strand of hair in the middle of his face, like very bad boy, very like Jared Leto in My So-Called Life vibe. I'll take it. I love dark hair, dark features. He looks great. And Joey looks amazing. I mean, Joey literally looks like a very ethnic brown boy with great scruff. He looks wonderful. And I love JC, you guys. I love JC. He's in the middle. He's looking over his shoulder. It's funny. This album cover is like all their photos are in like a sepia tone. So very interesting edit. And the colors are blue and like the brown taupe of sepia. Sweet Lance is just smizing. Yeah, I'd say he's smizing. Yeah, a lot of forearm action. You can see a lot of their arms with their arm hair and Justin Timberlake with his like watch showing in his picture. Anyways, the cover of this album is just iconic, I think. So I loved kind of, hopefully I brought you back and I reminded you. Funny enough, I feel like people will appreciate this. A lot of their first songs as demos were recorded at Shaq's house. Yes, Shaquille O'Neal's house. He had his own recording studio in Orlando and they recorded four of their demos in the beginning at Shaq's house after he heard them sing the national anthem. He's like, yep, come on over. The album has 13 tracks and I'd say I think that for the majority of people, they probably only know like four or five of the songs. And, you know, right off the bat, Tearing Up My Heart, of course. I Want You Back, duh, first single. God Must Have Spent a Little More Time on You. That's probably the ballad everybody knows. And I really don't think that other people know many of the other songs, but they're so good. I kind of wanted just to take us back. First things first, I was going to go in order, but I'm not. My favorite song on the album is I Want You Back. And guys, this was originally a Backstreet Boys song. It was given to the boys first and something with their management. I'm sure everyone knows the whole Lou Pearlman saga and his disgustingness. We won't get into that. We're going to keep it positive for this episode. But you can always DM me for the details because this documentary is on YouTube and I love talking about it. One thing I'd like to transport you back to is the iconic music video for I Want You Back. We have Chris Kirkpatrick featured with goggles yet again. And the video is just strange because it's a mix of a million different things. It's a mix of black and white colors in color. It's a mix of them playing basketball, them on jet skis, them driving around with girls, playing pool. And then the chorus cuts to them with this kind of, how do I explain it? Like the screen behind them looks like it's basically this black kind of like garbage bag, shiny kind of like tarp that's just like, you know, like a cellophane kind of metallic-y thing while they're dancing in front of it. Best way I can describe it, I'm so sorry that I did not do justice. And then there, you know, there's flashing images of them, you know, pouring water bottles on each other at the basketball court, playing pool, and then just doing their iconic synchronized dancing. I don't understand the video at all, but as you watch it, you're like, okay, I don't know. It's just, it is epitome of late 90s. That's what it is. You have Justin Timberlake with one silver hoop in his ear. Lots of sunglasses, lots of chains, lots of bagginess. Yeah, the song is just so good. But now that I'm watching the video with it, I'm like, I think I like the song better without the video because the video just throws me off a bit of all the subject matter that they are trying to cover, which makes no sense. I think the thing that confuses me the most about the video, though, is the cutting from black and white to color. I don't know. I don't know if that's European. I don't know what it is. So let's move on. Another song that I want to highlight that's one of my favorites on this album is Drive Myself Crazy. This is a music video that I love and I remember from a child till now, this video is so good. So in this video, it shows the guys in an insane asylum. They are literally all in an insane asylum doing the video there. And then you get flashbacks of each of them kind of wronging a girl in their lives. And it's cool because you see all five different vignettes of their experiences with the girls. And in the sequence in the insane asylum, where they're in like the padded walled room, they're in these satin pajamas, like this burgundy red, deep blue button down satin pajamas with white wife beaters underneath. It's just, I don't know. There's something about 90s boy bands, you guys, where it's like they had to wear the same outfit, but like a little bit of a nuance, right? Like a different color, or it's buttoned down different ways. But guys, this song is one of my favorites. And I think one of the reasons why I love this song so much is because JC's bridge towards the end is just, you really get a taste for JC's vocal range, which is great. And, you know, this is one of the only songs on the entire album where Chris and Joey get to sing a lead. On the entire album, Justin and JC sing every single lead except Drive Myself Crazy, where they let poor Chris have one verse to start with the lead. Like, so he deserves it, and his voice is great. Okay, another song on this album that I want to draw attention to really quick is I Need Love. Does anyone know this song or like it as much as I do? I was trying to think of why I love it so much, and it just reminds me of a really good like workout song, or like a song in the club that you would just get down to. And I'm personally a really big fan of like the 90s kind of like rave, a little bit of like a techno dance kind of feel. Like I always just, it just brings me nostalgia. And of course, because Max Martin is one of the producers on this album, and they were releasing in Europe first, that was kind of the vibe they were going for. They had to go for this kind of dance-oriented, Euro-pop, little bit of R&B vibe. Okay, next up, Here We Go. I love Here We Go. It's track 3 on the album. It's one of my favorites. One of my fondest memories of this song is listening to it on the way to school with my brother and my dad. And get ready for a total dad joke coming up. But my dad would always joke with us and be like, "Here we go where? Like, here we go to the bathroom? Like, ha ha ha." Just so cheesy and lame, but we'd always die of laughter. Like, yeah, here we go where? Like, where are they going? A fun fact about me, and this is obviously pre-COVID times, but for me, living in the city in my mid-20s, one of my favorite places was this club/bar that Thursday nights was always 90s night. And I would take anyone that I knew. When I found out it was happening, I mean, I was just anyone that I knew. I wouldn't go every Thursday, but I had maybe 2 or 3 of my birthdays there. I took my coworkers on my holiday party. Sometimes even when I lived back in San Jose, I would literally drive up to the city and go to this club on a Thursday night because it would be so fun to dance. All this to say, I really liked the DJ because he would play songs like Here We Go. Like, he wouldn't just opt for like the, you know, the most famous song or Bye 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 or Tang Up My Heart, but he'd play kind of like the one-offs, and I love that. I also just want to now share some fun facts about this album. So this album is certified diamond, which is amazing and a feat in itself. This was the 5th best-selling album of 1998. So the 4 that were before it, I mean, I'm laughing because, of course, the Backstreet Boys are before it. So we got the Backstreet Boys, the Titanic soundtrack, Celine Dion's Let's Talk About Love, and then Come On Over by Shania Twain. So after those 4, this was the 5th best-selling album, and it was originally released, I mentioned earlier, 97, because it was released in Germany at first, then in America. We're going to finish this off with, of course, God Must Have Spent a Little More Time on You. This is the song that every single child sang to their mom for like their play at school or whatever the case may be. The music video is so sweet. but also so cheesy, guys. There's all these shots of like the camera on the floor panning up to look at the boys in their matching white suits. Like they're in an all white suit, coat, white pants, very cheesy 90s, but cute. But little snippets of moms and their sons. It's really touching, of course. I think that this will always be one of those songs for like, you know, mothers and sons or mothers and daughters. But I think what throws me off is the cheesiness of how the video looks like it's being shot in like the 1940s. Like, I don't know why the son with the mom looks like it's like a Wishbone character. Do you guys remember the cartoon Wishbone? Like just back in the day, like it looks like he's like writing on like a random tablet. Like, I don't know. Oh, okay. He's going off to war. Okay. Sorry. I'm watching it now. Yeah. I think it is like the 1940s. Again, another one of those music videos that cuts from black and white to color. Interesting. I'm having a really good time rewatching these videos because I haven't watched them in so long. I did not remember this. There's also a scene when they're singing in the chorus where there is this like fountain filled with smoke in the middle of the boys. I don't know how to explain it, you guys. I don't even know what it is. It's like a tall pillar filled with smoke. Why?
Oh, thank you.
Okay, friends, I hope that you had fun just listening to me re-listen to this CD, NSYNC's debut album. Go back and listen to it. I would say cue it up on your Spotify. Pull out your old CD if you have it. Give it a listen because there are some gems on there. And it encompasses so much of the zeitgeist of the 90s. DM me and let me know which ones are your favorite songs. Did I hit your favorite? Is there one hidden gem on there that I didn't touch on? Let me know what other albums you want me to do next. I would love requests.